This is 161st Street, Yankee Stadium.
All right, welcome back to another episode of the Four Train Savages podcast. We have episode number 117. Today is September 29th. The Yankees have an off day. Right after, Tyler, the Yankees have officially clinched the American League East Division. They are now champions in that league. The second time since 2012. And the last time was 2012. Since 2013, their last division being in the last division win being in 2019. And also on this road trip in Toronto, Aaron Judge has officially tied Roger Maris for the single season home run record in the American League, with his mother in the building as well as Roger Maris Jr. in Toronto. And it was quite a start to the week for Yankee fans. A lot of exciting stuff happening with the celebration, seeing dudes chug beers, seeing some shifty stuff going on in the celebration, which was funny. And now we get to see a new hopefully very shortly after this weekend, we get to see a new American League home run king. Also, there's some little controversy to, I guess, unpack for us of just talking about it. We know our feelings of just how we feel about it is similar to what Aaron
just
Judge feels.
Just
some comments that we got to talk about, and there are other. There's probably listeners that feel the same way as Roger Maris Jr. And that's okay. And we're gonna unpack it all. But dude, division title, yep. 2022 feels good.
Feels very good, Rob. I said this to you as we got on the pod. I said, hey, congratulations, man. This is our first division title as well. First time doing the pod that we've had the Yankees clinch the division. 2020, obviously, COVID year, wild card nonsense. Last year we never want to really remember again. But yeah, dude, the Yanks are having fun. We've been talking about it all September, honestly. Had some player managing, like Nestor, the pitching coach. Rizzo, the manager.
Awesome.
Yeah, Rizzo, the manager. Like, let's have some fun, dude. We've been asking the Yankees to have fun for years, Rob. Years. And they're having fun. And like you said, apparently Judge hit his 61st last night. Didn't hear about that. Clearly joking. But, yeah, big-time stuff. I'm glad he got that one out of the way. I feel like that one was the hardest. I think 62 will come in no time. Wink, wink. Baltimore on Saturday. Please do it then. I'll be there. But yeah, dude, I'm fired up. We can finally start dreaming about the playoffs a little bit. We are both 100% locked into game one of the ALDS. So kind of it's just getting the anticipation is just building and building at this point.
I'm excited.
Fired up.
I'm ready to go in. Playoff game, playoff atmosphere. Tickets went quick or going quick, so hopefully you can lock onto them if you haven't already. But
we just need a ticket sponsorship, so we this would be perfect segment for a sponsor right now, Rob.
Yeah, it would. It would. Call up Pilot Penny.
Yeah. SeatGeek, what up?
So, yeah, I guess we could roll through these pretty fast and then head into our topics, but little news, we talked about DJ last time. DJ is rumored to be activated for tomorrow on Friday. So
it's getting weird.
We'll see how that toe feels.
Dude,
we'll see how it goes.
It's getting weird how we actually talk about things, and the exact opposite has been happening like all of September. Like last pod, we were like, there's a chance DJ could miss the whole season. You were like, dude, I told you that already. And now he's back tomorrow.
It's also unforeseen how he'll actually feel.
I think there's a good chance that this is like his test, and if it doesn't go well, then he gets shut down. But it's been the same with, you know, we yell about Hicks, he plays well, we yell about Glaber, plays well, Donaldson playing well. I'm like, hey man, don't win the World Series then, and then actually win it if it's just like reverse psychology on this pod.
We just have to motivate them, that's all we're doing.
Just motivation.
All right, game one, Luis Severino on the bump. 4 innings pitched, 3 hits, 2 earned runs, 3 walks, 4 Ks. This was one that Severino sort of struggled with a little bit more than typical. that he did in his last start. So, but it's still early on since he last came back, so we're not going to go too crazy.
I do think it was one of his better. I don't think he looked bad, Rob. I thought his stuff looked really good. I think the two earned he gave up were due to kind of IKF's little blunder in the field that was ruled a hit. Because he gave up the two earned after. But
he just let on guys, and it was missed some spots here.
Yeah,
and there.
Three walks. We don't want to walk people.
So I'm not going to go crazy over it.
Confident in him in the three in October, though. Very.
Yeah, same here. So in this game, Gleyber Torres started it off with a sac fly. IKF in the top of the second hits a home run to then put us up 2-0. And then Teoscar Hernandez doubles in the bottom of the fourth. But the IKF made an error in this game. And I
Bro,
will turn
Taylor,
the over to
it
you.
It was a Taylor. Like, listen, they ruled it a hit, I believe. Because it was hit so hard by Teoscar, I believe. Well, not Teoscar, whoever it was. It is what it is, dude. I mean, I'm not really going to go on a huge rant because we know Peraza's not the shortstop going into October. It's just like, hey, man, if that happens in the playoffs, like, I will freak out. Like, I'll be recording my face screaming, freaking out, putting it on the internet. Because it just, this stuff can't happen. I mean, that's why we had Andrew Velasquez starting at shortstop last year to avoid like errors like that. So it led to two runs in the playoffs. It could be a game. A game could be a series, which is your season. So, you know, I kept him playing well offensively, so I can't really give him a little bit of slack, I suppose.
This game ended up being a Vlad Guerrero walk-off.
How did you feel about them pitching to Vlad, Rob, before we go into the comments? Because they could have walked him. They had the base open. Alejandro Kirk was on deck, who's having a phenomenal year. Do you care? Now I don't. Not now really. I don't care because Judge hit a 61st. Yanks clinched the division. But
even in that situation, I mean, Kirk has been having a really good year, so it's not like you're turning it over to. I mean, you'd rather face Kirk than Vlad, so I guess.
I didn't really care too much either. I was like, we're going to probably have to see these guys if we, you know, potentially could see these guys if we go deeper, they go deep, so.
But after the fact, when Vlad made his little in my house,
so weird. I thought he was going to say, like, this is our house. I thought that would have been better.
Any time that guy starts doing enthusiastic stuff, like, remember when he caught the ball at first base and he
put his hands up? And then they lost 3 out of 4 that series.
So maybe hold off on the. I get people want to enthusiastically celebrate. It's just not a great look. So I don't know. I think it's funny for us to poke fun at, and like I'm sure there have been situations where it's happened to Yankees. So I can't really.
Oh well, do you remember when Gary did like the shush thing against Houston when they came back and won,
yes,
in the ninth,
yes,
and they were down 6 runs like a couple years ago,
I think it was
last year.
I think it was Altuve, right?
Yeah, but Gary, the inning before, like, shushed them going around third or whatever and did some, like, sort of buzzer-like gesture, and then the Astros went ahead and scored 6 runs. So when we talk shit, it doesn't go well either. But
yeah, so I, from that point of view, but this is an important thing to talk about of preseason, the Toronto Blue Jays were the prohibited favorites by many
everyone, bro,
media outlets, by everybody,
pass in power rankings, everything.
They were the prohibited favorite to win the American League East, and outside of the month of August, which was very rough for us that we watched, the Yankees really pulled away and won the division handedly. Like, I understand that they had that tough stretch, but they had never relinquished the division lead in that time, so you have to give the Yankees credit.
What,
and
what was the lowest it went down to, Rob? 4.5, I think? Something like that?
I think 3.5.
3.5, yeah, 3.5 or 4.5. Pitiful.
But even then, Toronto wasn't the team directly behind us at that point.
It was Tampa, yeah. I mean, Rob, like you said, pitiful August Yanks.
Who scares you more, Tampa or Toronto? Because I got
Tyler Glasnow is back, but Toronto probably scares me more because at any point their lineup can fuck.
I think,
but their defense is atrocious, dude. Bo Bichette is a joke.
Only because there's just something weird about the Rays that I think that they would scare me a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, like, they all like, will scare me.
Yeah,
we're kind of. I'm at the point, Rob. When it's playoff time, bro. Even if we were playing Minnesota, like everyone scares me, dude. It's just a high anxiety time in my life, for some duration in time.
It takes on the spooky season takes on a whole new level of meaning when it's also playoff baseball.
Yeah, exactly. My girl hates this time of year. She's like, well, why does football overlap the Yankees? And then one, it's the only part of football season us New York fans can care about most of the time because we're not seven games out. So I care about the Jets very much at this time. And then it's the most stressful time to be a Yankees fan. So it's just, it's a tough time to be, the fall. It's tough.
The only good thing is the crisp pool weather. Yes.
Some apple cider.
Yep. Yeah, so we lose that one. Vladdy does his whole stuff.
Michael K comment at the end too.
Michael K. Love that. In game two, Jameson Taillon goes 7 1/3, 7 hits given up, 2 earned runs, 6 Ks. So a very, very solid, good start for Jameson Taillon. They walk Judge 4 times in this, and then
he saw 36 pitches, dude.
It prompted David Cone the next day, which we'll talk about. To do the chicken bawk bawk do the chicken bawk, noises. So that was very funny. So in this one, J-Mo pitched very well. Springer, of course, that guy has a weird way of just
he's so good, dude.
Lead off home runs. I
he hasn't played a lot this year, but he's freaking good.
I just can't stand him anymore. It used to be like a thing where because I went to UConn and he's a UConn guy, and I was like, "Oh, it's UConn." Now I don't even care that he went to that school. I just cannot stand that dude. I can't even. He's
went to two teams that we just completely dislike.
Just cannot stand. So he started off with a home run, although he's very, very good. And then the Yankees really pulled away. Rizzo got a single to get in Higashioka. Then Glaber continues to be very, very hot.
So he's playing I really think he's playing the best baseball of his career right now, dude.
Which is good.
Hell yeah, it's good.
And then he singled again in the top of the fifth. And then Aaron Hicks in the top of the sixth doubled. And then Glaber again in the top of the sixth after Hicks hit a single. So Glaber with a huge game on game two. And it's the J-Mo Trevino combo here in this one. Mm-hmm. Trevino goes an inning and 2/3, gives up no runs, gave up 1 hit and a K. So very solid game. And this is just really through this game, we're like, all right, just win the game, win the division, get it over with. And then hopefully we get to see Judge hit 61 during this game. But unfortunately, it didn't happen. And then we got the celebration and everything after, which is super exciting to discuss.
Oh, very exciting. Where were you? Will you always remember where you were for this, for 61? I was laying in bed, Rob. I transitioned from the couch to the bed.
Well, I thought you were about to ask, do I remember where I was for the division? I'm like, I will, maybe one day, if they actually win the World Series.
That is true.
I saw they got all the postseason gear, but I don't buy. I'll buy it all.
You said you bought something from Fanatics, right?
Yeah, I bought the sweatshirt, but I didn't buy. I bought also a 98 Yankees fitted.
Yeah, yeah, it looks fly. Because
I gotta have the fresh brim for the World Series. But,
did you
hopefully World Series?
Yeah. Very, very hopeful. Did it ship yet? I see everyone, because I was thinking about ordering something from Fanatics, but everyone,
yeah,
I see
it did.
People on Twitter
it got
are
here
like,
very fast.
Oh, it did? Okay, I saw someone on Twitter was like, my stuff hasn't shipped, blah, blah, blah. It's been a few days.
I mean, I never buy like divisional or like ALCS stuff. Like once the World Series stuff comes out, I will purchase that, and maybe it hinges on if they win or not.
But I think I still have my AL wild card towel from last year somewhere.
Well, that's cool. I would get a towel.
Well, it was free.
Cool.
Yeah, it was free. Yeah. They get in Fenway's towel.
But like purchasing a shirt for a divisional
win
is not necessarily
not
what I'd do. But to go back to your question. Yes, I will, which was in game three with Cole. I will always remember where I was in my just my living room. Just remembering like that he hit 61, and it was I think like, two people thought that he was pressing. I don't really think he was pressing.
I don't think he was at all.
He may have been pressing from the fact that he's like, I just want to get this over with, but it's not the same as when Jeter was pressing and he couldn't buy a hit looking for his 3,000th hit. Also, it's a different thing of where Jeter's looking for a hit versus Judge looking for a home run, which even puts more pressure, you would think. But, like, Judge was still spraying the ball. He was still getting doubles. The thing was he was hitting doubles and fans were sighing after getting doubles.
He was walking five times a game.
But I would turn on, like, ESPN and hear the bigger network shows, and they're saying, oh, Judge is really pressing. I'm like, you're clearly not watching the game.
It's just uninformed people. What did you think of any celebration moments you liked in Game 2? I loved Boone's speech. He got fired up. Did you see it in the locker room?
I did. Yeah, that was a good
He's
speech.
He's like, I know you guys want to go, but I got to give the belt. J-Mo! And then everyone just goes nuts.
I thought it was hilarious how Nestor got beer dumped down his shorts by Trevino, and that,
why did I not see this down his pants?
Yeah, about down the back of his ass.
That's funny.
And then also
Bader getting after it, huh?
Bader getting after it. And
Cole is everybody so drink. Weirdo, bro.
Cole was just Cole, and too on game three. It looked like they sat Glaber, and it looked like he was a little hungover.
Did they?
Right reason.
Well, I knew they sat him, but I didn't see the pictures of him.
And he was the assistant coach to Rizzo managing, so that was funny. But
I love that they did dude.
I mean, the only takeaway from game three, they won this one 8-3. Cole goes 6 1/3, 3 hits, 3 earned runs, 1 walk, 4 Ks. Cole is also on the precipice of history, looking to break Ron Guidry's single-season strikeout record for the Yankees. So he tied it. I think he's at 248 right now.
Yep.
He gave up another big home run, which is just – I don't know, man.
It's just
we'll
annoying.
Wait to talk
I mean,
about that. But Peraza gets his first RBI.
Clean up Peraza, yep.
A takeaway. Rizzo managed, which was hilarious. And then in the top of the seventh, Aaron Judge hits his home run. And, yeah, I feel like you're always going to remember where you were for Judge hitting that home run. It's just that amazing of what he did. So
no, it was pretty sick. Yeah, my girl was watching it with me, and she was like, you finally did it? I was like, yep. But now we got to worry about the next one. But no, it was pretty cool.
Are you sitting out in the bleachers? Are you going to try and go in a mob and try and catch the ball if you're out there?
Nah, I'm sitting grandstands because I was just buying the cheapest tickets to get in there. But I probably will be walking around in like standing room areas the whole time, and you know, around the bar and stuff like that. So we'll see. But I'm not going to channel my inner Zach Campbell and make an effort for it. I mean, maybe I should. I could win the lottery. How about the fan, dude? Just dropping $1 million in his glove right there.
Yeah, no, that was bad.
Yeah, I felt bad for him. Like, you bring the glove, and you botch it.
Yeah.
You got to just jump over at that point.
I wonder if the bullpen coach was like, damn, if I wasn't working for the team right now, I could just...
Did you hear the reports that came out that they wouldn't give it to, like, any MLB officials that were in the stadium? So they, like...
Why?
Because it was sketchy. Like, I guess they were kind of sketched that there could be some weird... I don't know.
Oh, like people posing as...
Yeah, do it. People doing that, or someone just like, you know, switching out the ball, whatever the case may be. So they ended up giving it to Zach Britton, walked over to the bullpen, and they gave it to him, which was pretty cool. I thought that was nice. But imagine if the Blue Jays bullpen guy was like, nah, I'll keep this for myself. Retire early.
I mean, that you're making more money off that than you are your Blue Jays salary.
Yeah, probably.
Probably. So, I mean, the estimation for some of the balls are like $20 million.
That's so wild.
So wild. I don't know. That's crazy.
But yeah, game three. It just didn't really matter to me outside of the home run. That's the only thing I was watching for in this game.
Oh, from here on out, I only care that if he hits 62 yeah. and see how many more he expands his lead. That's really where we're at.
Everyone stay healthy. DJ, the only couple of things looking for is DJ to hopefully play well. Maybe Stanton can connect with a freaking fastball, dude. That'd be nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Stanton looks horrible.
Yeah. I don't know, dude. I'm freaking pumped. I just can't believe they clinched the division. I texted my other buddy this morning. I'm like, bro, we clinched the division with, like, games to play. Left to play. When was the last time that happened? 2019.
Could be worse. We could be the Mets, and we could be competing with the Braves.
Yeah,
the
whole that would just be anxiety. Infuriating. Because then you got to throw DeGrom and Scherzer in the wild card. Like, that stinks.
Mm-hmm. So it's good. It's good. All right, before we talk about these other topics, did you want to do your dog segment?
Yes, who got that dog in them? Yeah, I want to talk about...
Oh, shit, dog!
Doggy, doggy. Dude, is there a way, Rob, where we have left field competition? Outside of Benny. Even if Benny's not healthy.
Oh, between him and Hicks? Between, yes, absolutely.
You think there's competition between Oswaldo and Hicks?
Yes, absolutely.
They're September.
I think there should be.
Really? I did not think you were going to be on that fence. So, yeah. Those are my two dogs of the series, dude. Both of them had really good series.
Oh, what do you think, like, who I would choose between?
No, I'm saying starting in left fields for the DS.
Like, you're thinking I have a hesitation of who should actually play.
I'm asking you, is there a competition between Hicks and Oswaldo?
No, or, sorry, I should rephrase that. Oswaldo is a clear option.
Okay,
that I would
okay.
Take.
Yeah, I agree with that. I also would take Oswaldo. It's weird because Hicks is putting together, after those comments, he's been playing well. Listen, I'm not at the point where I want Hicks to start because God knows what can happen. We've seen the bad defense. And the offense just kind of hasn't been there. But I would like to give it to him in this case because he had a really good series. He had 4 hits, 4 for 7, 2 runs scored, a walk. And he kind of made some shitty comments. A lot of people have been talking, you know, not great about him. And he's had a decent month. He's got a 119 WRC plus in September. He's got a 265 average, 315 on base, 453 slugging percentage. So I don't know. Could be a cool weapon off the bench. No, it can't. I don't even know why I said that.
How about now?
But I just wanted to talk about Hicks and Oswaldo in this one. Oswaldo also had a very good series. Pulling up his game logs right now. I believe he had 4 hits. But he's been hitting. I said this last pod, Rob. He's been hitting in the middle of the order for a month and a half now. And he's just doing it. Yeah, he had 3, 4 hits in the series, 2 runs scored, a walk, only 1K, no RBIs. But it seems like he's just getting it done. So kind of outside of MVPs that we'll get into a little bit, these are my two dogs of the series. Hicks for proving, not necessarily proving people wrong, but making some comments. And he kind of, I guess, lived up to something in the last couple of weeks. But, yeah, obviously, I hope Oswaldo starts in left in the playoffs. I hope he starts somewhere in the playoffs, Oswaldo.
Yeah, that'll be an interesting development to see what they decide on. Because Oswaldo, as we've talked about, hasn't been a part of the equation until only just a month or two ago.
Yeah, he inserted himself into the plan.
And now he's in the plan. So we're hoping Benintendi can just come back as soon as possible and be a factor in the postseason, but debating between those two players, like you said, it's just a risk knowing what we've seen from Hicks this year. And I like the aggressive, hungry nature of Oswaldo at this point.
Because the energy definitely outweighs anything Hicks could bring.
Because, dude, my whole thing of, I think, my thing, as well as what I think a lot of other fans watching Hicks was, it's frustrating to watch because he at times looked scared at the plate in terms of he would I know his thing was walking.
He went full puppy dog.
But at times you're saying, like, why aren't you being more aggressive in swinging the bat in that way and trying to mash some homers, pimp some homers with what he – that was the asset of him, of that was the plus of having him, would he'd be on the left side and he'd launch a homer.
Yeah.
And he wasn't being aggressive at the plate. So in opposition to Hicks, like, I want a guy in Oswaldo who is young, hungry, can play the position very, very well, made a lot of great defensive plays.
Spectacular plays.
A lot of different positions. And he's a Swiss Army knife, and you could put him anywhere. So if I it's a real no-brainer debating between those two of who you'd want to play left field until Benintendi then does come back. And even then, you can have a conversation if Oswaldo is killing it in the ALDS. It's like, well, how are we going to shift it around with Benny? And so that's a whole other conversation. But, I mean, he's forcing himself into that conversation to be had. So I love it. So
no,
Oswaldo definitely over Hicks. I thought you meant I misinterpreted when you said competition.
Yeah, no, I'm just hoping that the Yankees don't, you know, try and do some weird funny business like they do sometimes, and they just take it as, yes, Oswaldo's playing better than Hicks. He's been doing it for the entire month of September. He plays everywhere, and also the energy this dude brings, not just to the stadium, but to this team every day. Like, he's kind of inserted himself as, like, that young dude that just feels like, not even feels like, knows he should be there.
Yeah, which is awesome.
So he's doing a great job, and I don't know. I need that energy in October, dude.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, savages of the series.
My guys are fucking savages in that fucking box, right?
Easy layup for me, Aaron Judge. Ties Roger Maris. Quite literally the savage of the season is what we'll call him. That's what he is. So that's my savage. Who did you go with, Tyler?
He is definitely the savage of the series. Excuse me, the season, Rob, to say the least. But I'm going Glaber, bro. I talked about it a little bit before. 4-for-8 in this series. 3 RBIs, excuse me. And he's kind of finally putting together a decent... His numbers are starting to look decent for the season. 115 OPS plus, 764 OPS. He put together a damn good September, Rob, with a 183 WRC plus. He slugged almost 600 in September. We know Glaber's playoff numbers are phenomenal in his career. So I think the fact that he actually can kind of get out there and be that dude that we've wanted him to be since 2019 can really propel this team in the postseason, so I'm fired up.
Yeah. Glaber's playing well. Glaber's playing very well. So now let's go to our MVPs of sucking.
They stink!
Giancarlo, this pains me to say, dude, but you gotta be better. I'm really hoping he just catches fire, and if it's quite literally leading up to the playoffs of where he has played well, so be it. I don't care. As long as this dude mashes in the postseason, but he does look like he cannot touch a fastball. And I don't know if it's the injury or what's lingering at this point, but he just has to be better. And I expect him at some point, like, just his history of his career tells me that at some point he has to play better.
Yeah.
Cause,
you'd think so, he has to.
Giancarlo's been, yeah. So
we need him to. I mean, if this team's clicking on all cylinders, Giancarlo Stanton needs to be a big part of it. My MVP is sucking, Rob. IKF, strictly because kind of made Seve's line look bad. The scorer, official scoring, I really don't understand it this year. It's like they really favor IKF in a way. Ruled a hit, should have been an error. I think anyone that watches baseball would tell you that. IKF, don't make any of those happen in the postseason at all.
Yeah. All right, cool. So yeah, we'll talk about these topics here. The most interesting one to get into was, so Judge ties Roger Maris at 61. Maris Jr. was in the building, as well as Aaron Judge's mom, which was cool to see. Then Judge the bright side of the ball not going to a fan was that it fell in the bullpen and he was able to get it back and give it right to his mom, which was a very nice moment to see. So that was cool. But Maris's comments, dude, what did you think about those on the presser after?
I wasn't surprised at all, Rob. I mean, obviously, I don't agree with it. You can kind of – I think we've been over this on this pod. We're not really in the business of just deleting records, and that kind of is what it seems like the Maris family would like baseball to do. He said Bonds, McGuire, Sosa, all their home run records were kind of illegitimate, meaning, you know, baseball should kind of do something about them and not recognize them as, you know, the record holder or whatever case that may be. They kind of did do that in the Hall of Fame. I mean, the Writers Association just kind of did that themselves. They just, like, they didn't let Bonds in the Hall of Fame, obviously. But yeah, I wasn't surprised, dude, and you can tell they're really happy that it was Aaron Judge. They really like the fact that he's a dude that just shows up, does his dues, absolutely crushes it, is a huge professional, puts his head down, runs around the bases. But I don't know. Yeah, I don't agree with the comments. I mean, it is what it is. There's definitely a lot of people that think the way he's thinking. I'm not one of them, but, you know, whatever.
Yeah, you're allowed to think that way. I think a lot of people will think of Aaron Judge as the home run king, which is their right to do. Or once he passes Maris, hopefully within this weekend or early next week. And you're allowed to think that. But even Judge himself said that the title holder is Barry Bonds. I mean, Judge grew up a big Barry Bonds fan, as well as a San Francisco Giants.
From the area, dude.
From the area, so that is one of his favorite players. I think he did say that it was his favorite player before in an interview. So, yeah, I understand why Roger Maris Jr. did say what he said, because when that happened and his dad was passed by Bonds and by the other home run dudes, that he felt as though that they had been cheated, and that's his right to feel that way. But it you're a race, like, those home run records are still in place. They're still written in, and they're not going anywhere unless something happens when Rob Manfred writing them out. So that's just, you could feel either way, and you're allowed to feel it. But
yeah, it's
it's a weird
subject.
Listen, it is very cool to still have the American League home run record.
Yeah, and it's
Judge still would have that once he hits 62. Uh-huh.
So. And it's very cool that the whole family followed Judge around. I mean, they were in Pittsburgh, then they went to New York, and then they're in Toronto. They're like, all right. I mean, you kind of follow them around the country. It's very cool to see. They handled it all with such class. You know, they could have been like, nah, I want my pops to have this record. But they're really cool with Judge. They met after the game. That was pretty cool. But, yeah, think however you want. I mean, there is no right answer, I guess. It's just all kind of up to you.
Yeah, exactly. It's up to you if you believe it to be or not. And still, like, I think that we got to keep talking about this, but just putting it in perspective, the last time that this happened where Roger Maris hit 61 home runs was 61 years ago, ironically. And now Judge in 2022 ties the record, hopefully breaks the record this weekend or early next week.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, dude, when's the next time we're going to see a season like this?
We're not. Look at the home run leaders, Rob. No one's even close, dude.
Judge is 20 ahead of Schwarber, and it's just – it's insane.
People think there's an MVP argument, Rob, between Judge and Shohei. No. Well, obviously not. But it's a joke if he's not the unanimous MVP, dude. Let alone the MVP. It's not even close.
I don't see how you can talk about how ignoring greatness, if you would do that, like we talked about it before of Ohtani, if we would ignore greatness. Like, you are straight up ignoring greatness if you do not believe Aaron Judge is the MVP. I just don't see it any other way. Like, I understand Ohtani is having a tremendous season, but Aaron Judge is having a season we haven't seen in 61 years.
Yeah, and it's not even like he's kind of first in all categories. He's running away with every category not named batting average, but mind you, a third of his hits are home runs. So who cares about the batting average at the end of the day? But he's still just like, he's about to win the triple crown hitting 61 home runs, 62, 63. It's wild.
And too, at the stadium, they have a little figure of Mickey Mantle. Like, Mickey Mantle's season he's blowing past the home runs. And I know Mickey Mantle had a higher average, mm-hmm. but he's still producing at that clip, which is crazy. And I think you can legitimately make the argument that it is the greatest single season in Yankees history and the greatest single season in baseball history. You could make that argument. You really can't. So
it's wild. He's walked 106 times this year, Rob. I mean, he's got 173 hits and then just tack on 106 singles, essentially, in those walks. He's a nutcase. 213 OPS plus, dude. I really want him to finish the year slugging 700 because that's, like, a really cool number to me. There he's slugging 696 right now, so maybe a couple decent games, couple extra base hits. Ended at 700 would be very cool.
I want to see that triple crown. I think that'd be so
awesome. Yeah, that'd be sick, too.
I want to see that. It's so awesome. All right, other topics to talk about. We talked about Hicks and Glaber.
Mm-hmm.
So Cole in the playoffs. I wanted to talk about this a little bit because I like foreshadowed it last week. So, or when did we last record? Like, we recorded a few days ago. I had made the point with Gerrit Cole that there's a lot of noise around him, and that the criticism is somewhat shifted from one $300 million man to another, from Stanton to him, and he is at a point of a lot of criticism. So this postseason matchup, right now we are locked for the second seed to then have a bye to play either whichever team matches up with us. And he will most likely, for even with other people arguing that it should be Nestor or they would take another first game starter, the Yankees are going to start Gerrit Cole in game
one. I wouldn't take another first game starter, Rob. I'm going to be honest.
I think that this is going to be a huge opportunity for Gerrit Cole to, one, either shove it to the haters and perform and shut them up and they won't be able to say anything as long as he performs in the postseason, or that noise can get much, much louder. I am on the side of I want to see him play well. A lot of people on Yankees Twitter and talking about Gerrit Cole.
Weirdos.
It sounds like
they're weird, Rob.
that may call themselves Yankee fans want to see him perform poorly and just say, oh, I was right. Like, no, I don't want to see that. I want to see Gerrit Cole perform well and pitch well.
Yeah.
I'm rooting for him. But sometimes when you see these home runs given up and you see how he's susceptible to that, like it frustrates you, but it's going to be a huge opportunity for him to shut up some haters.
Huge,
dude.
Huge. And Rob, I think it's pretty underrated how well Gerrit Cole has pitched in the postseason throughout his career. Obviously, 2021 wild card game, I was there in Fenway. It was a joke. He went two innings. He gave up three runs. It was a really bad start. But dude, in his postseason career, he's pitched 86 innings. He's got 111 strikeouts and a 2.9 ERA. Like this dude has been there before. He did it with Houston. He did it in 2020 where he started five games for the Yankees and he pitched very well. Obviously he's coming off a really, really, really shitty start, last postseason, but people should not be surprised if he pitches well. And B, you should want him to pitch well. He's the ace of the staff. He's getting paid a ton of money. He can do this. Listen, Nestor may have had the better year. I do want Cole being the ace of the staff and going out there and having that FU mentality and kind of living up to not just his contract, but, I mean, his career numbers, his postseason numbers, his regular season numbers. Because, listen, dude, no one remembers anything if you go out and shove this postseason. Literally anything. Yeah. Everything else is irrelevant. Same goes for Stanton.
Exactly. Looking at his postseason history in 2013, I mean, the Houston numbers are just stupid.
Yeah, they're absurd. Absurd.
So we just put that to side. But, I mean, if you look in Pittsburgh, he still had a 2.45 ERA in the 2013 playoffs, pitching 11 innings, giving up three earned runs, giving up two home runs, so we know that he's
We've kind of talked about this, though. A lot of aces, dude, you're not going to string together six hits against him. Cole gives up homers instead of a bunch of hits, which stinks.
So, listen, He has history of performing well, and then obviously in 2015 he had a bad wild card game against the Cubs. So, but that, you know, that's one game, and you could say the same about the one game playoff. But he's going to have an opportunity in a full series, right? And he has an opportunity to shut up a lot of people.
Multiple
I'm
series.
Rooting for him to, as weird as the guy may be at times,
he's a weirdo, dude. He's so weird.
As quirky, I am gonna root for him. This is why we paid you the money.
I love
this
him too.
Is why? So, yeah. So that's gonna be a big, 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 big thing to look at.
I just loved watching Cole
October.
Celebrate. It was freaking
hilarious. That was funny.
He's just posted on the wall.
Very funny. Yeah. All right. Did you have anything else that you wanted to discuss, or are we?
I don't think so. I mean, Josh Donaldson has kind of been coming around a little bit, Rob. Is he becoming the player they want him to be? They want him to be the whole year? I don't know. He's obviously playing great defense. I'm most confused at, Rob, is if DJ comes back and he's healthy, producing, and everything's going well, where, like, Glaber can't sit anymore because he's been that good. So where does DJ play? Is he the third baseman? Does Glaber DH, Rob, and Stanton sits? Like, is that a possibility, bro? Stanton's kind of been that bad. I'm just asking you. I'm not saying that should happen at all, but, like, it leaves a lot of question marks if DJ is healthy because Glaber has to play at this point. He's been the second-best player on this team the last 6 weeks.
Yeah, I mean, by default, you would really just want Glaber to just play second base the way that he has and not mess up any of the mojo he has going on. So,
is it just DJ at third then?
Yeah, but, like,
it's weird, bro. It's really weird.
You have him with a bum toe and you're going to work him that way. It's just,
I don't know. I don't know who the deciding factor is. I don't know if – I'd be very surprised if they sat Stanton in the playoffs.
I would too. Yeah. So I don't see.
And I'd also be surprised if DJ was healthy and producing. I'd be surprised if they sat him in the playoffs as well.
If Stanton then sucks, then I would call for Glaber to then be in the lineup. Like, he has a short leash.
Well, Glaber's in the lineup regardless.
Yeah. True. I mean,
you mean you'd call for DJ to be in the lineup.
However, it shifts around.
That's what I'm saying. I don't know who DJ replaces.
In my mind, DJ can really only play second base on that toe, is my thought. But maybe they're just going to say, fuck it, we're going to play him at third. So, I don't
know. Yeah. See, I do think Glaber – I can't see them moving Glaber out of second unless it's a DH. But I think it's either Donaldson or Giancarlo. Weirdly, dude, I really do, if DJ's healthy. It's a big if. It's a huge if DJ's healthy. Because we don't want, you know, just DJ on the field. He needs to – produce.
Yeah.
Oh, also Carp aiming to come back in Texas. We totally forgot about that.
And Benintendi, whenever he comes back.
But they announced Carp apparently trying to make a return in Texas.
It's a good problem to have, but
I would
it does make things confusing.
I think I'd prefer to almost have him as just a disgusting weapon off the bench. Like, that's a dope. Yeah. That's dope to have him off the bench in the playoffs. I don't know. We get to dream soon, Rob. We'll bang out Baltimore and we'll dream all through Texas.
Yep. So we only have 7 more games. We have 3 against Baltimore this weekend and then 4 against Texas early next week, and then after October 5th, it is time to we got a weekend off, and then postseason will be starting on October 11th, where we will both be in the building. I'm very excited for that.
Yep.
So yeah. That is it for episode 117. Thank you guys for listening. As always, subscribe, leave us a rate and review on Apple or Spotify. Give us a follow on @4TrainSavages on Instagram and TikTok, as well as @4Savages on Twitter. Hit us with the follow. Really appreciate it. Aaron Judge, go out, hit 62. Hopefully the next time we get to just revel in that, talk about it. It'd be very exciting to talk about. But that's it for 117. We'll catch you next time.